Philip, you have a great talent. That's some of the best song leading that I've heard in a long time. That's great. The lesson tonight is a topic that I don't think is taught enough. The importance of the church, the uniqueness and divine nature of the church. In knocking doors recently, I have a couple of little stories I want to tell you. Knocking doors in Mineola, a lady and I, and I had mailed out letters previous to our little door knocking event. I mailed out 500 letters. I got their name and addresses out of phone directory, and I mailed out 500 letters. And as we knocked on this door, the gentleman came and he said, "Oh, I got your letter." He said, "I wondered when you were coming by." And we went in the house and I began talking to him, and I learned real quickly, he told me that he had preached the gospel for 50 years. He was a gospel preacher. And yet, you know what? He was in the Baptist church. He had lost his wife, and he had married this, he disobeyed the teachings of the Bible. He married outside the church. He married this Baptist, and he ended up in the Baptist church. And I told him, I said, "You are lost, and you know it." I said, "You either have to be in or out, and there is no in between." And I tried to convince him to do the right thing. Probably to no avail, but nevertheless, he is wrong, and he is lost. He's outside of the Lord's church. And I have a sister-in-law. This sister-in-law sat, born, raised in the church, sat in the pew all of her life. She attended a church recently up in Oklahoma, and the church was what you might would call liberal. I would call it false teaching, but nevertheless, I don't know if that caused it or not, but she is now in a Bible church, and not knowing and not realizing and not understanding the severity of not being in the Lord's church. The Lord's church is important, and that's an understatement. And the reason why, I will give you the details and more in a minute. I'll be more specific. But let me tell you a little bit about the church and its significance, its work. As you all know, I am speaking to a group here tonight that are far more learned, more capable than I, to stand up here and to teach on this subject. But nevertheless, I never refuse an opportunity. To name the three main works of the church: evangelism, benevolence, and edification. Edification, that is one of the main reasons that we need to always assemble with the saints and edify one another and build up one another at the midweek services until the first day of the week arrives. The church, it is believed by some, and I've heard Billy Graham preach at his crusades, that calling out all of these believers, all you must do is just believe and accept Jesus in your heart. And maybe if the opportunity is available, say the sinner's prayer. But anyhow, you're saved when you accept Jesus in your heart. And he will then follow up to say that you can then join any church of your choosing, whichever you like, because there's no difference. They're all the same. Without knowing this, he is absolutely correct. They are all equally wrong and false. You know, we have many systems that we use. On our currency, for an example, we have a certification of a serial number. That is to certify its authenticity and to eliminate frauds and counterfeits. So it's very important that we know the difference between a counterfeit church and the real thing. To realize that the Lord's church is a divine institution, and it's one of the oldest institutions on earth. When you tell a denominational friend that you're a member of the Church of Christ, sometimes they will ask, or you can maybe ask them as you're speaking, do you know anything about the church? And I've had this answer given to me, only what I have heard, and that's generally true. And all of it is usually bad that comes from the pulpits of these denominational churches. And that is that you believe you're the only ones going to heaven, and you don't believe that anyone else is going to be saved. How would you answer him? Can you take the Bible and give a Bible answer to anyone that makes that suggestion that they are going to heaven as surely as you are? The Bible, friend, says we have a creed book. What is your creed? Well, of course, our creed is Jesus Christ and His Word. In the denominational world, we learn and we know that denominationalism is a sin. It is a sin. What makes it a sin? What really makes it a sin? Well, aside from the division, Colossians 3:17 reads, "For whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him." And that is by His authority. Doing it by His name is by His authority, and they do not have His authority. And 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God nor Christ." So they are lacking in authority to even exist. 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." Your answer, would your answer be, because you're in the Lord's church and you're a part of the saved, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." The Lord's church is more than just important because Jesus Himself bought and paid for it. In Matthew 15, verse 13, Jesus says, "Every plant my Father did not plant shall be rooted up." And you either are in or you are out. Don't be left standing outside. Judgment is surely coming one day. We do not know when, but it's coming to you and me, and we'll be judged on that morning for all eternity. And some will go to heaven, and others will be denied. Will you be standing on the outside? So we have to always be prepared. Stay in the Lord's church. Don't ever forsake and turn your back on the Lord Himself. Jesus bought and paid for the church. He shed His blood, His redeeming blood, the only blood that would satisfy the justice of God. Jesus paid the price. He paid the ultimate price. And this study will show the church is not only essential to salvation, because in 2 Timothy 2:10, it teaches that salvation is in Christ. No question about it. And you cannot separate Christ from His church. So as you read Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as those that were saved." This lesson will reveal a simple biblical truth. If you're in the church, you are saved, and if you're out, you are lost. Yes, the church of Christ, the church that Christ built, is important. The kingdom slash church has always existed. It existed in purpose, in the mind of God. It existed in the purpose as delivered unto the patriarchs. It existed in prophecy. It existed in preparation. And last of all, when the New Testament went into effect, it now existed in perfection. It is true because Adam and Eve inhabited the Garden of Eden together, and before the sky and the sea and the land was populated by bird, fish, and animals, before the sun, moon, and stars, before the planet Earth was dark and watery and a formless mass, but God proposed to bring into existence the Church of Christ. Ephesians 9 or 3 verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might it be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not the importance of the church, let's add to the importance of the church rather. The church of Christ is unique and divine. With a grand purpose in mind, we can see God gradually began through the promise and prophecies and eventually accomplished of that purpose, the prophets Isaiah, Micah, and Daniel. The church now existed in prophecy and promise. Now with the appearance of John the Immerser and Jesus on the earth, and Christ built a new phase, it came into a new phase of existence. The church and the promise, the prophecy, and in preparation, the time had come for the church now to come in perfection. The church is unique and divine in nature. Here's how. You'll recall in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples a question, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, or Elias, or some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto you, and upon this rock I will build my church. You notice it is singular. He will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bound on earth, thou shalt bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. The question still lingers, however, why is the Lord's church important? In Acts 20, verse 28, Jesus bought and paid for his church with his life and his redeemed blood that he shed on the cross. Jesus says, contrary to what most denominations, many of them preach and teach, that all you have to do is ask Jesus to come to you. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So how do we put on Christ? In Matthew, or in Galatians rather, 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in Philippians 3:9, it teaches that if one is in Christ, salvation is assured and heaven is certain. 2 Timothy 2:10, plain, simple, unequivocal, salvation is in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. Everything, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So, we must be in Christ to be saved. period. And once we put on Christ and we experience the new birth and become a child of God, then according to the scriptures in Acts 2:47, we are added to the Lord's church. We are simply the house of the saved. That's the way God planned it. That's the way God established it and set it up. Even baptism now does save us in 1 Peter 3:21. In Mark 16:15, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We use that scripture over and over as we approach the doors and approach people that are lost. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that is based on these facts. An honest person can see that the Lord's church is very important because it's where the saved assembles and worships God, and those on the outside are lost. There are many examples given to support the teachings of you're in or you're out. You will all recall, I won't quote all the scriptures and we won't spend the time, but I will make reference to the first is that Noah and the ark, the great flood. You will recall that Noah, a great preacher, a man of God, he was told because God had found that every person, their every thought was on evil, and he was sorry of his creation, and he decided to cleanse the earth of the wickedness. He informed Noah exactly how he wanted to build the boat, even the type of wood to use. Noah did as he was told. When the time came for the floods and the animals, and God told Noah to enter the boat, and the floods came and the boat rose, and the earth and all the breathing animals and people on the earth did perish. So the question is, would you have rather been in the boat or out? And the answer is, of course, in the boat. I have another example of in the boat that I'll make reference to. We know that prior to that, though, there was the Israelites that had been held in captivity down in Egypt for 430 years. And now then, God had heard their cries, that they had cried out for relief. And he had heard their cries, and he made up his mind to send Moses and Aaron down to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Of course, Pharaoh, being the man that he is, would never give up. He suffered the event of approximately, I believe, 9 different plagues until we got to the 10th plague. And God told Moses to call the church, to call the people together, and to tell them what to do. You all know the story probably as well or better than I, but they were instructed to kill the lamb, the choice, the best they had, and to put the blood on the doorpost and over the door, and to go in and stay inside. Because at midnight, the angel of death was going to come across the land, and every firstborn would die. The Israelites did exactly as they were told. They put the blood over the door, marking the door so the angel of death would know who was inside. And the angel moved through the land at midnight, and morning came, and there was much sorrow and mourning and crying out in the land. But not one single Israelite lost his life. So again, is it important to be in or to be out? It certainly was in their case to be in. We also remember the shipwreck that Paul underwent on the Isle of Malta when they sailed out from Crete And whether that was not the best conditions. And a ship that back then, sail-driven, wind-driven, they had very little control in the first place, especially in stormy weather, and their conditions had become extremely grave. And they had reached the isle, or close to the isle, they didn't know where they were. They were caught up in this storm, suffering, scared, fearful for their life. They had begun to lighten the load and throw grain and some supplies and things overboard to lighten the load for the ship. It finally reached a point that they were now going to abandon the ship. But at midnight, the night before, an angel appeared unto Paul and told Paul to stay in the boat. Don't get out. Next morning, the storms and the waves and the ship were showing signs of really having trouble. And they began to lower the boats, the life rafts. And Paul, remember now, here's a man in shackles, in chains, handcuffs, and he is crying out and warning everybody to stay in the boat. They finally listened to what Paul was telling them to do. They did stay in the boat. The boat drifted now near the island and crashed into the rocks and broke up. Some swam, some took timber as life rafts, and they all made it to shore, to land. And not one single person lost his life. So again, it is important that we know the importance of the Lord's church. We are the bride. And when the Lord comes again, and he calls us up to meet him in the air, we certainly don't want to be somewhere else outside the Lord's church. So, words can't really describe the importance of the church. We have information and we have a lot of knowledge as to not only the importance. We know that Jesus is the builder. He bought it with his blood. He's the head and the foundation. And what else? Ephesians 5:23. He is the savior of the body. He is the savior of the church. The oneness of the church. We have many scriptures leading up and teaching us there is just one. Just as there is one Redeemer. There's only one person that could satisfy, that person's blood could satisfy the justice that God demanded. And that was Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. When he shed his blood did satisfy. It was the atonement that we were waiting for and looking for. So, in the oneness, Jesus, when he established, I read a moment ago, in Caesarea Philippi, when he was in that region, he said, I will build my church, and that he did. It is called the church. Ephesians 4:4, it is one body. There is one fold and one family. Salvation of the church. We already know that when Peter and the apostles preached the gospel for the first time on the first Pentecost following the crucifixion, 50 days, that the Jews had plenty of time to think about what they had done. And Peter and the apostles were speaking in their language, and they were speaking with great power. The Holy Spirit had come upon them and baptized them with unbelievable power. And they were teaching the gospel for the first time. And those people realized, they're Jews, but they realized they had made a mistake. And they cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter told them what they needed to do. That they had already believed, but he said, "You've got to repent." To repent, that means you have to come out of where you are. You've got to make a change. Those people, there's 3,000 recorded that were baptized that day. They simply had to come out of that life. They now were no longer Jews. They were Christians. Very simple. And it is true and the same today. We have many people in all the different denominations that you can find throughout the land, and we have many, well over 400 here in the United States. We have many churches now that have denied their affiliation with certain groups, and they have changed the names to be more suitable, they think, but it's still the same. They're all still counterfeit, and they're false. They teach false doctrine. You wonder why, but there's a simple reason and excuse as to why. They do not have the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, as we do. Their ability to understand is certainly not equal to ours. They read scriptures and they do not know, but yet they are as convinced of their own salvation as you and I are. I recall one time we were up in Missouri somewhere, and my team, we knocked on this door, and the guy came to the door, and I told him who we were and what we were doing, and I got his story. That was one of the things that we were instructed to do, is to get their story, to find out, and then to explain that we would like to tell them ours. But he was a faith only, and I told him, I said, that you know that's not scriptural. He got really, really upset. I knew I wasn't going to teach him, but he kept wanting to convince me that faith only salvation was real and acceptable. And I kept telling him he had to show me in God's word, and it's not there. He followed me down the sidewalk. He was in tears. He was crying to the point that it scared me. I had never had anyone do that. He was literally defending his faith, his belief, to the point that he was just crying. And it scared me. So they are just as convinced as you and I, but they are also wrong. Salvation. The church is essential to salvation. Because in 2 Timothy 2:10, as I mentioned a moment ago, it teaches that salvation is in Christ Jesus. And you can't separate Christ from the church. That's impossible. And we learn also that daily the saved were added to the church. So the church is absolutely essential. We need to do this. You know that Satan cannot pull you away from the Lord without your permission. He cannot steal you from the Lord without your permission, without giving him the authority. So we have to be on guard at all times. We have to study the defense. I mentioned those in a moment ago, my sister-in-law and this preacher that I met. I don't care how much knowledge you have. You need to keep studying and stay in God's Word every day. You need a study routine. You need to read and study to stay, to keep your heart and your mind in tune with God and His teachings. We know that many people come and they'll attend church regularly. You will see them sitting out in the pews every Sunday, and yet they have ears, but they can't hear. They don't realize. They can't defend the truth. Many people today cannot stand up and with scriptures defend the church. But it's something that we ought to be able to do. We ought to always be able to defend the hope that we have in us. In closing, let me just say this. There's many of you here tonight that could have done much better. But I am grateful that you chose me, because I always enjoy doing the best I can do to share with you the gospel, to share with you the knowledge that I have regarding the church and regarding the life of a Christian. You know, we go out and we bring people and we teach people how to become a Christian. But in here, the preacher and the teachers teach them how to become a Christian, how to live a Christian life. So teaching and preaching, studying the Word, being able to always defend the truth when somebody asks you a certain question, to be able to give them a Bible answer. In closing, let me just give you this. I don't know you personally. This is my first time to attend here, so I don't know, but I'm assuming that all of you are Christians. But you know that first we do have to enjoy preaching. We have to listen, just as the eunuch did when the angel appeared unto Philip and sent him down to Gaza to teach the eunuch the gospel. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless somebody tells me?" So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We each one had to repent. We had to repent often. We need to repent daily if we are having a sin problem, because we're human and we do have sin. And we need, that is the cleansing blood of Christ that we can rely on. And of course, if you're not a Christian, you must know that the gospel plan that God laid out to save you and I, to clean us up, and to make us fit to live in His kingdom in heaven, we have to be baptized. We have to be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. When we make contact with the blood in baptism, in the water, you'll recall that blood and water, when Jesus was on the cross and the guard or the centurion, the guard stuck a spear in his side, and the scripture says that blood and water came forth. Now this is another miracle, because he was already dead. He was already dead. His heart wasn't pumping. And then water, where'd that come from? We don't know. We just know that in God's power, all things are possible. His blood and water came forth, the redeeming blood of Christ. And when we are baptized and put on Christ and experience the new birth that Jesus told Nicodemus, we then can be added to the Lord's house and assemble with the saints and worship God and do our best to live a Christian life. The thing that we need to do is to stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. It is easy to become discouraged. We come across a lot of people sometimes that have been in the church. They were baptized, they were members of the church, and they're no longer members. There is no longer members because they don't know. They never knew the consequences, the severity of falling out of the Lord's church. To do so is to turn your back on Jesus, to slap his face, and to treat his sacrifice as though it was nothing. So my admonition is, going throughout your life, every day, study God's word, stay in his word, it's powerful, and always stay in the church. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the church, if you have any needs, why don't you come right now while we stand and sing.